Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
And we're joined now by Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us. Hope you're well. Can you give us an update, an overview? How is COVID-19 impacting our meat exports around the world?
Good morning, Mike, and thank you. Yes, in this uncertain environment that we're in the world with COVID-19, it's definitely not business as usual. There's been an impact, you know, not only in the U.S., but globally. And while we've been dealing with it, we've been in the eye of the storm here in the U.S. for at least the last 30 days. We've been in the eye of the storm in Asia since early January. So we've been seeing, you know, what's happening around the world. And the good news is, in all of this, that people are still eating. Consumers globally and in the U.S. are still eating. And whenever there are challenges, and we have a lot of them right now, usually that results in some opportunities. And we have, I think, some good opportunities going on in the export markets, especially in Asia. And I'd like to give you a couple of examples. Probably no bigger opportunity that we've seen in the last 60 days in places like Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China. And that's the emergence or further development of these e-commerce online platforms, these delivery platforms. And they're absolutely booming in Asia. They were booming before, more from an aspect of convenience, but now they're booming for other reasons. Restaurants, you don't have people eating in restaurants and they're doing takeout or whatever instead. And we're seeing a lot of this, and it's been very successful throughout Asia. The other good news is that we're on the other side of the mountain, so to speak, in Asia and a lot of these countries. That actually, restaurants are starting to reopen in Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China. It's slowly reopening. It's not normal, but it's on a trend line back to normal. So in that aspect, even the food service area is seeing some better signs as we move forward here.
Have there been any disruptions in the supply chain when it comes to, you know, workers, whether unloading ships or anywhere else in that supply chain? Has that been a problem?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike, and something that we're watching very closely. I would say back in January, or I should say in February, around Chinese New Year, that there was some disruption. Some of it was normal. Because during Chinese New Year, basically a week that they take off in Hong Kong, China, and Taiwan, you don't close the ports, but you usually have a skeleton crew and the flow of cargo is much reduced. Well, this year, with Chinese New Year basically being extended by 2 extra weeks by the government, that slowdown lasted nearly a month, and it did back up cargo to some extent. That being said, as we got into later into March and now we're April 1st, I'd say virtually all the ports in China especially are back to normal or virtually back to normal in terms of flow of cargo. But you bring up a good point. We need to be watching other markets that are now getting into COVID-19. You know, Japan's starting to see more cases, and we're watching this very closely. But outside of that example in China, there's been minimal disruptions, at least so far.
We're talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, yesterday we talked with Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and he expressed concerns about what kind of a beef export year it's going to be. He said there was so much optimism of a huge year when the year started, and now that's dramatically changed. What do you think we might see? We'll start with beef as far as export numbers this year now.
Yeah, we're still, I share the same concerns, but I think in total we're still looking at an optimistic year, more than likely record-breaking. 2 years ago was our last record, and in 2019 wasn't far behind that. So, yeah, we're looking at something along the lines of 4-5% growth for the year. But suffice it to say, it won't be normal. I mean, we're going to see shifts in consumption. So, obviously, the food service sector is being hit hard, but retail's booming. same thing that's happening in the States. But we've seen it now for several months in Asia, and the online platforms, that business will be booming. So, you know, there's some shifts going on, and as I said, I think people are definitely still eating, but the way they're eating and the venues that they're eating in are switching dramatically.
Is there a big difference in prospects for beef, pork, poultry? Does one look better than the other, or how do you see it this year?
Well, I think the thing we have to remember, I think as far as the U.S. is concerned, year on year, pork will probably be bigger. We're estimating 20 to 25% growth on pork, a lot of that being to China. And, of course, China still, once the dust clears on the health side with the coronavirus issue or starts to clear, the reality is that we're still short protein. You know, you have roughly 25% of the world's hogs have disappeared year on year due to African swine fever in China. You know, pick a number, 40 to 50% of their herd has been compromised. And you know, that translates into somewhere into 20 to 25% of the world's hogs. So from a total protein supply availability globally, we are short. And I think all things being equal, and all things are not equal right now, but all things being equal on the supply and demand side of things, short protein in total should mean increased demand for U.S. products, both on beef and pork. And we're, as you know very well, we're looking at record production this year in the U.S. So I think the U.S. is well positioned to supply some of these shortages around the world later this year.
How do you at USMEF, from a staffing standpoint, how do you do your market development work with a pandemic like this going on?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. We've got offices in 18 regions around the world, and depending where you're at in the pandemic cycle, we have offices, well, Korea, for example, is similar to here, where everyone's working from home. Businesses are shut down or minimized as key and essential, similar to here. As I mentioned earlier in our meeting here, you look at Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China, all of our staff is back to work. The business is, for the most part, back to work. It's a slow, steady rebound that's starting to happen in those countries. So it's a very fluid situation around the world, but activities are ongoing. We just had a really big promotional activity on pork in China and Hong Kong two weekends ago that went very well. We are starting to roll out beef and pork activities for April, our spring campaign in Japan. So suffice it to say, the way we're doing business is a little different, but still the business for the most part is getting done. And we're adapting like everybody else is. We're adapting around the world to the situation that we're in.
You reference this, but I think what we kind of do, we look at these other countries that have gone through this ahead of us and kind of see the progression in those countries and kind of see if maybe that's going to apply to us as far as the peak in the cases and then the rebound from it, things like that. There's been a lot of speculation. How do you restart the economy, and is it going to be all at once or is it going to be gradual? It sounds like, especially when we're talking restaurants and food sector, that's going to be a gradual process to get that back.
Yes, I think it will be. And I think on food service, what we're seeing in Taiwan and Hong Kong are good examples. It depends on what part of food service. If you're looking at restaurants in malls, for example, where you're very tightly, where there's a lot of close contact, those restaurants are starting very slowly, as you might imagine. But if you look at restaurant concepts in suburban areas of Taipei or Shanghai or wherever, if you have an open air area that has more space, maybe a patio where people can more easily socially distance, those restaurants are seeing better activity. So, you know, I think it just depends on what part of food service you're talking about. The other part of food service that's booming in Asia is the quick serve, you know, the drive-up windows, the home delivery from quick serve, the very affordable quick meals. And some of the, you may not remember this, but one of the concepts that was very popular prior to all this back in 2019 was single-person restaurant venues where people go in alone. And those obviously are booming now because it's easier to social distance.
Right. Well, Dan, good information, good perspective. Thank you very much. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike.
Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.